thankful for the rain this morning. It wasn't raining when I got to the nursing home, so I went in the nursing home, and then it came a good shower at the nursing home. And then when I was coming out, I got a good shower, so I'm good and wet on my little white shirt. So if you see speckles on me, you know what that is. I had a nice, interesting situation. Lily and Mikey are sitting in the back this morning. Friday is Pizza Friday at our house. And so I wasn't paying any attention at the time, and I was watching the news. And 6 o'clock snuck up on me. Well, I got a knock on my door. And Lily opened the door, and two little boys rushed in. This is Peter and Andrew. Now, I want you to know most of my history with Peter and Andrew have been I have been the gorilla, and they have been the fearful munchkins, okay? So when they see me, they run the other way. And this has been a great disappointment to great-grandpas because great-grandpas wanted to be different than that. But I don't know, thank you for at least urging them in that direction, Lily, Mikey, I appreciate that. It delighted my heart. They ran in and jumped up in my lap, and I gave them sugar and kisses, and they gave me sugar and kisses, and you know, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I've reflected upon that moment several times since then. You know, that's exactly the way our Lord wants us to come unto him. We're to come into him with gladness, with singing. I want to see those little guys look up and smile at me. I think our Father in heaven wants to look down and see us smile at him for all the grace that he has given unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to read an extensive passage to you this morning, but I'm going to read it as I comment on it. I want to give you an illustration of grace this morning. I want to give you an illustration of grace. We here at Grace Baptist Church believe in grace. We believe in grace. So I want to give you an illustration of grace this morning. It's going to be out of the life of the man David. So if you don't mind, turn to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. Now I'm reading from the old King James, which is an anathema to a lot of people, but what can I say? That's all I ever knew of growing up, and it's all I ever memorized. So it's been hard. I've been hard-pressed to move away from it. But y'all give ear, and I will stop and pause at times. We're actually going to read two entire chapters. And this is a beautiful chapters, and it's an illustration of grace. I got to take my spectacles out so I can see the words. It goes like this. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite." Now, he was a Bethlehemite because he lived in Bethlehem, okay? "The Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Catch that language there? Now, this is the word of God speaking to Samuel. "I have provided for me a king." "I have provided for me a king from the sons of Jesse." Second verse. "And Samuel said, oh, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord." Now that sounded like a little shady deal right there just about to me. I mean, of course, I want you to know our Father in heaven has every right to be coy, if you know what I mean by that. He has every right to be. And so he told Samuel, it's not a lie. Just get you a heifer and go down there and say you're going to sacrifice unto the Lord. But I'm sending you for another purpose. "And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee." In other words, the Lord said, I'm going to name the person. I'm going to name the person. Samuel, you sort of watch it. You sort of stay out of the way. I'm going to name the person. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and elders of the town trembled at the coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Now, I don't know all that. Samuel must have been he must have had the face of a gorilla. I don't know what the deal was there, but evidently Samuel carried a lot of fear around with him, or a lot of weight around with him, and everybody feared him. So when he came to Bethlehem, they trembled. And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come, and I'll stop right there. It's quite interesting that Jesse did not bring all of his sons to the sacrifice, okay? He brought seven of his sons to the sacrifice, and Samuel sanctified all seven of those boys and dad, and but one of them was missing. And it came to verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, that's the firstborn, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Man, I get dwarfed by these big, tall guys we've got coming to church here. I got one sitting right yonder, son. It makes me mad. He's like 6'4". I always wanted to be 6 foot tall. I just never did make it. I always wanted to be 6 foot tall. I tried to wear high heels a couple of times, but they never could get me into 6 foot tall. I mean, Eliab come and he was tall, handsome, strong, and I think it uses the word broad, and the Lord says to Samuel, no, Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor the height or his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So Eliab was, no, checked him off. And then Jesse called Abinadab, who's his second born, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said these words, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Did you notice that word there? He chose. I have not chose this one. Now the language is going to change in just a minute when David shows up. Did I do something wrong? I thought I popped the machine back there. I don't know. Is that me? It's you? Oh my goodness, it's y'all. Shame, 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 shame. The word chosen is used there. Listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know it. I'm blowing it off back around. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not because of you. It's not because of some great thing you've done. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, it's because of his choice of you. He chose you before the foundation of the world and named you as his own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't have anything to do with my salvation other than just receiving it. I received it from the Lord. I'm a receiver, and you are too. We just received it. What a gloriously wonderful thing that the Lord has loved us in such a way as that. We delight in that. So he looked at this and Shammah and said, the Lord hadn't chosen that one. And Samuel said unto Jesse, after he had passed all seven of them by him, and hadn't chosen any of those, he said, have you got another child? Have you any, are here all of your children? And then almost reluctantly, it appears that Jesse answered, well, yeah, there is one more. But I had no thought in the world that you would be thinking about him. He's the youngest. He's the youngest. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. Samuel is from the south. Did y'all hear that? Samuel is from the south. He got that from the hillbillies down here. Well, go fetch him. Go fetch him. I like that in the old King James. It might not say that in y'all's version. It probably doesn't. Y'all don't have too much hillbilly in y'all's version. But it says in mine, go fetch him. Go fetch him. I like that. I like that. And he sent and brought him and listened to the description. And he was ruddy. And with all of a beautiful countenance, he was a pretty boy. He was a pretty boy. I never did like to be called that when I was growing up, even though I yearned for somebody to call me a pretty boy, but I was never called a pretty boy. But was pretty and goodly to look to. And the Lord says, arise and anoint him. This is he. This is he. Now, once again, all of this is an illustration of grace. We're going to get to more and more illustrations as we go. But the man David found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord chose David to be the Jesus Christ is in his lineage. Jesus is the son of David. Our Lord and our Savior died, came and lived, but he lived as a son of David. He was from the lineage of David. And David, this man, was anointed that day. Verse 13, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord then departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, the next few verses are a little bit struggles because it sort of gives an implication that's somewhat not cleared up in the next chapter, because it appears that David goes and ministers to Saul musically for quite some time. I'll read it here in a moment. But then it almost picks up in the very next chapter that Saul doesn't know David. And so I'm not sure whether this is a little bit beforehand or a little bit afterhand in regard to what we're about to read. And Saul's servant said unto him, Saul had an evil spirit from the Lord. Behold, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player of the harp. And it shall come to pass, when that evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And then answered one of the servants, saying, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war. Now, this would not have been the same description that we just got just a few moments ago of this man David. A mighty man of war, a comely person. Do any of y'all think of yourselves as comely? What does comely mean to you, Pastor Donnie? That's not particularly attractive. I'm a comely person. I want you to know, I raise my hand. I don't know what my wife saw in me, but I loved her all those 49 years and 4 months and 7 days, and still do love her for it. But what an amazing thing. He was a comely person. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and set them by David to his son David unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Okay, I've read a whole lot. Now we're going to read a whole lot more, okay? The story continues. An illustration of grace. Chapter 17, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah, whatever, in Ephes Damon. I love these old words. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on one mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I don't know exactly what that means, how tall he was. A lot of commentators say he was beyond 9 feet tall. He was a giant. A span is the distance, from what I understand, from the tip of your finger to the end of the elbow right there. That's a span. That's a cubic. Cubic? Well, wait, you're right. Did I say a span? That's right. He was whatever he was. 6 cubits. You're right. That's a cubic. My bad. And a span's about half that. I think a span is the length of your hand. Is the length of your hand. Well, if you've got a big enough arm and a big enough hand, you can get up around 10, 11, 12 feet. So I'm not sure exactly what the standard was. Thank the Lord that we have a standard foot in the United States of America. But the people around the world don't like that. They want us to be on the metric system. So what can I say? He was a giant. He had a helmet of brass on his head, was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I wish I'd looked that up. How big is that? Like 50 pounds or something like that? And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and your servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be you shall be our servants and serve us." By the way this all plays out, the Philistine was a liar. He was a giant liar. Because when he lost his head in battle, you know the rest of the story, lost his head in battle, the Philistines, they dispersed, but they didn't become the servants of the Israelites. Then they ran. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now we pick up with our story of David. Now David was the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went out among men as an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 sons were Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, they came out the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard him. And all of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king shall enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he doth defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered after this manner, saying, "So shall be done to the man that killeth him." And then we get into a little bit of dialogue, next verse, with the older brother Eliab. I'm sure that David found himself demeaned all the years that he was growing up with 7 older brothers. That's a hard place to be. I was in a hard place to be just having 1 older brother. But he was big enough for 7. He towered over me. He was a giant compared to me. When he entered high school, he weighed 300 pounds. But he didn't weigh 300 pounds. He was Samson when he entered high school. My dad made us work out. He worked the fire of us. Harold had like 25-inch arms and 50-inch calves and 100-inch chest. I mean, he looked like a monster when he entered high school. When I entered high school, I weighed 95 pounds. My nickname was Skinny. I just highly regret right now the memory of Raymond Huffines running down the hall saying, "Skinny, Skinny, Skinny, come here, Skinny, come here, Skinny." I wanted to kill him. I wanted to kill him. But I'm sure if you're a younger son here, and you're one among many, and you're a younger son, there were troubles with the older brothers, okay? There were troubles. First of all, the older brother was to be honored. In our household, it went like this. Harold would think of the mischief to do it, articulate it. I would then do the mischief. And then Daryl would get blamed for it. And it worked a couple of times, but then my father saw a rat. Mischief from then on garnered all three of us getting a whipping. So we tried not to be. My dad didn't, he didn't just give whippings, he gave whoopings. And so it was pretty rough on us boys. So, but I'm saying that this dialogue of Eliab right here with David is a reflection of sibling rivalry right here. Let me read the verse right here to you, if I can find it. And Eliab, and this is verse 28, his eldest brother heard that he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And that was pretty hard for an older brother to say that to a younger brother right there. Those were pretty stiff and hard words. And David rebutted by saying this, "What have I done now? What have I now done? What have I done?" And I think a whole lot of shame was in Eliab's heart, especially what was about to happen, garnered shame in a lot of hearts. There were probably many mighty champions in the nation of Israel at that time, but a mighty champion was rising right here in the person of David. Because David, when the giant came out, he didn't fear the giant. He didn't fear him. "Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again with the former manner. And when the words that were heard which David spake were rehearsed before Saul, he sent for him. He sent for him. Saul wanted to see this young man. Now, granted, this is where the story sort of fizzles out. It should have been a situation here where it says, "Why, David, how are you doing? I hadn't seen you in the last few days. I need you to come in here and play the harp right now because I had a bad morning." But that didn't come up. It's almost as though this is before the other. And I don't know, chronologically, sometimes it doesn't work out in Scripture too well. But our Lord knows it. And David spake and rehearsed before Saul, and he sent him. And he sent for him, and David said in verse 32 unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of this man, because of Goliath. I will go down and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Thou art not able to go and fight against the Philistine. Fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. I will go down and fight against this Philistine." This is the grace of God right here. This ruddy boy, this eighth son of Jesse, and when he's described, it almost appears he doesn't have any facial hair. I don't know when I started getting facial hair. I tried to get it early, so I shaved when I didn't even have anything to shave. But he was young. I don't know. I believe he was in the mid-teens. There's a lot of different speculation about how old David was. He's mid-teens, probably 15 or 16. But David demonstrated tremendous grace and the courage that he undertook. He said, I will go down. He was courageous in the midst of his person right then. You know, we've had a great demonstration of courage in our church in the last few months. We've had a young lady that sat right there most commonly has gone to the country of Mongolia, which is a little far-fetched. If it had been the Western states in Europe or something like that, I'd understood. But Mongolia, she's gone to a hard place with tremendous courage. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the demonstration of the grace of the courage that was demonstrated in the life of our dear young sister, Lenore. And David demonstrated that same grace. He was courageous. I will go down and face this giant. And I know the other sons of Jesse who were in the battle, that made them madder than a hornet, that this young man should go down. David demonstrated great grace here. And then we come to an interesting dialogue right here. After this demonstration, excuse me, I skipped one point. He was determined to go down. He was persevering in his decision to go and fight the giant. When Saul said, you can't go, you're just ruddy, you're just a kid, you can't go, David fought back with a rationale that could not be challenged. He said, I have gone into the wilderness and kept sheep, and a lion showed up. And that lion got a lamb in his mouth and was walking off with it, and I got that lion by the beard or by the mane, and I took that lion out. And then a bear came, same situation, and I fought that bear, and I won. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be just exactly like them. Now, it gives every appearance that David went to Saul, even though Saul came, but he went to Saul for permission. He wasn't a part of the army. He couldn't go down. He wanted to have the king's permission. He wanted to have the permission. He wanted to be under authority. Young men, young ladies, a great demonstration of grace in your life is that you're under the authority of your parents, that you're under the authority of our community. I mean, my dad would have killed us if a officer had drugged me up to the door of the house one night and said, he did this, 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 and this, and I want you to know, I'm ready confession, I was worthy for that to happen a couple of times. But I knew my dad would kill me. It's good to be under authority. David said, I'm going to be under authority. I'm not going to go down without speaking to the king, without speaking to the military authorities. And then a little thing, I'm not going to read it, a little thing comes up. Saul said, well, your argument about the bear and the lion, your spirit of determination, I'm going to let you go down, but here's my sword and here's my shield. Here's my armor. Does any of y'all remember the description of Saul when he was anointed king of Israel? Does anyone remember his description of him? He was a head taller than any other Israelite. About like me and Silas Baker back there. He's like a head taller than me. I look right under his chin, right through there, right under his chin. About like, it could be said that Saul was a giant. So David started putting his armor on, and another grace shows up in David's life, and that's the grace of wisdom. Never tackle something that you know you can't do with what you got. You tackle it with something that you know you can do with what you're familiar with. And so he said, I can't go with these. This sword and this armor will just weigh me down. I can't do what I've got to do. I'll go down and face him my way. And Saul let him go. Saul let him go. He said, go on. You go. Let me find myself now. I wanted to read through all of it. And David, let's see, verse 39, I'll start right there. And David girded his sword and upon his armor, and he essayed to go, but he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff. He had a shepherd's staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. A lot of commentators sort of think that those 5 smooth stones, the number 5 was important. Any comment from the audience on why those 5 stones were important? Why was it 5 stones? Goliath had 4 brothers. David wasn't just going after one. He was going after all of them. He was going after all of them. There's another interesting thought about this. He goes down and Goliath confronts him. And he laughs, and Goliath laughs at David. And David takes that stone, puts it in his sling. And it's almost as though, this, generally, the armor that we have seen in years gone by of these old guys, there would be a thing that would cover your forehead. How in the world did that stone bury deep into the forehead of Goliath? How did it happen? I sort of think it went like this. And he leaned back. And he caught him right there. Caught him right in the forehead. And I don't think it killed him. I think it just knocked him for a loop. It doesn't say in the passage. I'm speculating here. But David killed him with his own sword. With his own sword. Let's continue reading. Philistine came out and drew near unto David. And the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair complexion, of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You know, great grace was given to David to answer this man. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head off from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. What a beautiful, that was a, I'd have looked at him and said, how'd you come up with that? That's a pretty good speech right there. That's a good speech. That's a good speech. Listen, David went down full of the Lord to battle with great courage, with great determination, and we would say with great wisdom. And then when you look at his words, he had great words too. He had great words. This assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And then it speaks of names of towns right here after this. They pursued them all the way to the Philistines' homes, to Gath, to Ekron. And the wounded Philistines fell by the way, even to Gath and Ekron, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hands. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." David won a great victory that day. David demonstrated a tremendous amount of grace in his life. More grace than I could have ever imagined when I was 15, 16, or 17 years old. He was very much an adult when he was young and ruddy and fair and beautiful to look upon. He was very much a man. And I would commend that, especially to our young men here today. You be that man. With great determination, he went forth and slew the giant, Goliath. I don't really know exactly how long it was from the time he arrived. Probably this all materialized pretty fast. I would say probably within a handful of hours. He sees, he hears the giant defy the armies of Israel. He starts talking, and everybody starts talking about him. He's just a loud mouth. He's just showing off. But then when he stood before Saul, he didn't show off. He told him, "I can do this." Saul gave him permission. I'm going to say it was just a handful of hours. Handful of hours. And David went and slew a giant. But you know, the story quickly changes. A greater grace is given to David after the fact. The greater grace is this. Let's see, let's look at chapter 18, just one verse. Two verses. And it came to pass, verse 6, it came to pass as when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. The Lord gave great grace to David to slay a giant. And that probably happened within the scope of one day. We don't really know how long David fled from the man Saul, because Saul immediately made David his enemy. And David had to flee. His whole family had to flee. All of his brothers and sisters and his father and mother had to flee. Because Saul was out to slay David because of envy. In those words right there, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000s. And it was years and years and years. And in those years of hiding and being in different places, God multiplied grace in the man David, made him a stronger and stronger king. He wasn't king yet, but he was soon to be king. He demonstrated great respect for Saul. In two occasions, he had the opportunity to kill Saul. He could just chopped his head off. But he didn't. He didn't. He respected the fact that Saul was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king of Israel. And he said, I will not touch this man with a sword, for he is the Lord's anointed. And that young man grew into a man that would be a great king and who would be the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He proved himself to be a great sinner, but he proved himself to be a great repenter. He did terrible things, and he repented with great repentance. And this was the man David. he found great grace before the Lord. And grace is what we need. Grace is how we stand before the Lord. You don't stand before the Lord without grace. And David stood before the Lord with immense amounts of grace. Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, for these few minutes, I thank you for the opportunity to come to be with my brothers and sisters today. Lord, this is a very familiar story. I don't think I said anything new. But Lord, help us to have our eyes open to see the greatness of your grace. Lord, you can take the lowest and the least esteemed and raise them to the and elevate them to kingship. For Lord, you have made us kings and priests unto our God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to live that. Help us to live like that. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us, Lord, to walk after you is our prayer. Bless you for every grace that you've given. Thank you for everything wherein you have poured out your life for us. Lord, David was your great-great-great-grandfather. You were the son of David, Lord. And he was a picture of grace. And Lord, you're a greater picture of grace. So Lord, you laid down your life for us. And we bless you for your grace poured into our lives. We bless you now and we give thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, thank you for hearing me. We will be dismissed at this time. And y'all enjoy a good cup of coffee between times, okay? Thank you now.